Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to worship this morning here at First Presbyterian Church. Whether you're with us here in person, joining us live on Zoom, or those catching up with us later on YouTube, wherever it may be, we are glad to be able to gather together to worship God, to learn more and more of what it means to be God's people. Today, as we gather together, we are like so many throughout Scripture, like the disciples walking on that road to Emmaus, talking with Jesus and yet not realizing that it was Jesus, and upon realizing it, reflecting back, said, weren't our hearts burning within us all the time? As we gather together today is Pentecost Sunday. That's why we have all the red, celebrating that moment when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, described as tongues of fire landing on their heads, mighty rushing wind, what many refer to as the birth of the Christian church. It's a day that we celebrate, the ongoing power of the Holy Spirit that is present among us. Many different ways that we celebrate worship, that we glorify God together. Today, we're going to be having the learning team recognizing all of our graduates, and scholarship team is going to be recognizing scholarship recipients as well. So we've got those great things here during the service. After the service, during Growing Connections time, for the adult class, we'll be meeting in the parlor. That's what we call it, the parlor room over here. And Kat Griffith will be sharing with us on immigration and the changes that have been happening in it. And I don't know enough about it. I'm excited to be able to hear more of her perspective, her firsthand stories. Immigration has changed so much, and as much as I know, there are laws that we are operating under right now that do not fit the context that we're in, and how to make all those changes, and in the midst of that, what is our role as the church to be able to be there in that in-between liminal time that the world is finding itself in. Today, after worship, looking for a few volunteers to help Dave out, we need to move the communion table once again up here and take down bell tables, because this week we're going to be doing some repairs in here. You'll notice some of the lights are burned out and getting those changed around, changing out LED lights, so we'll be bringing in a big lift, doing a bunch of things. We need some space and need to protect communion table and everything else. So if a few people could come up and help carefully lift up the table, last thing we want is to damage a communion table or have the glass slide off of it and break or anything like that. So many hands make light work. Thank you much for doing that. Now let us prepare our hearts, our spirits, to be able to sense God's Spirit that is present and moving here in this place at this time. Scripture for today comes to us from Acts chapter 2, the account of that first Christian Pentecost. It can be found on page 119 in your Pew Bible or Common English Bible that we have at the back of the church there on page 1324. Listen for the word of the Lord as we open worship together. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. With tongues of flame, the Holy Spirit descends to burn in our hearts anew. Unite us, Holy Spirit. Like the rush of wind, we sense God's presence, blowing afresh throughout the world. Unite us, Holy Spirit. Across the barriers of language and culture, Christ's message of love and grace is heard. Unite us, Holy Spirit. Divine Advocate, we seek your guidance as we search for the Spirit of truth. Unite us, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy One, ignite within us a fiery passion to become your mission in the world today. Warm us by the Spirit's dancing tongues of flame, that we may feel your kindling blaze within, urging us to be your people. Make us wholly present to experience a new birth and awaken possibilities within us to embrace your love in the world. In this love and abundance, we come to celebrate your harvest, a harvest bearing the first fruits of the Spirit within us. Show us how to use these gifts as we listen for your truth in the gentle breeze of your Spirit. Amen.
Oh, this year.
Feel the Spirit of God moving in your soul. Listen to the Spirit speaking to you of hope and wholeness. Trust the promises God has made that new life is our inheritance. Join me as we open ourselves to God's healing Spirit as we pray, saying, "We aren't ready, Lord. It is easier for us to hide in the upper rooms of our lives, to let the world go by and not acknowledge your presence. But you have challenged us to come alive. Your love and words of healing mercy. Forgive our hesitant witness and our complacent spirits. Heal our fears and our wounds. Help us to be agents of healing and hope for others." Now please take a moment for your own silent confession. God of grace and power, challenge and inspire us to overcome our feelings of inadequacy and remind us that you have called us beloved and given us what we need to proclaim your good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hear these words of assurance. Don't be afraid. God's Holy Spirit brings you healing, comfort, and hope. You are being prepared to serve God in some mighty ways. Rejoice. God's Holy Spirit is always with us. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with others. At this point in the service, I invite Todd and Mary to come up and to be able to share with us our graduates and our scholarships.
Well, good morning. We're excited to recognize our graduates and our scholarship recipients. Our first graduate this spring is Erica. So if we can have them come on up, please. Our high school graduates, please come forward. And Sophie. And Logan.
Hello, I'm Erica Albrecht. I was homeschooled by my amazing mom. Thank you, Mom, for teaching me everything I need to know and more. And I also want to thank my family, my dad, and my big brother and big sister for guiding me through life and teaching me everything I need to know. At the moment, I'm undecided what I'm going to be doing for the future, but...
My name is Sophie, and I'm graduating from Fond du Lac High School. And next year, I'm looking forward to attending UW-Madison in the fall.
I'm Logan Sobel. I'm graduating from Fond du Lac High School. I'm going to UW-Whitewater next year, and I'm undecided.
And... We have several non-high school graduates. Carly cannot be with us this morning. Carly graduated from University of Wisconsin Oshkosh with a bachelor's in science in education. She's accepted an early childhood special education teacher position in North Fond du Lac. Mark receives his master's degree in music from the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee this Sunday. He currently is the vocal music teacher in Beaver Dam High School. He's pictured on the slideshow with his son before a Spring Pops concert. Colton, congratulations to Colton, who is graduating this Sunday from the University of Wisconsin in Eau Claire with a bachelor's in science in biomedical engineering. Byron is here. Byron received his master's degree from Concordia St. Paul.
So about 2 weeks ago, I received my master's at Concordia St. Paul for sports management. I'm currently working at the Oshkosh YMCA as the sports coordinator. All the sports leagues and activities besides hockey and swim, I'm in charge of making sure they run somewhat smoothly, as smoothly as they can be for recreational sports. I want to continue either working in recreational sports or find my way onto a sports team, either for like a community outreach or player personnel.
Each year, the scholarship committee is blessed to award scholarships to youth, and we have been doing it for at least 45 years, I believe. The ones that we have this year, on behalf of the 2024 scholarship committee, it consists of Mary Bacon, Dave Erickson, Ruth Holstein, Larry Merrill, and Jolene Schrey. And this year's recipient of the David Frisk Memorial Scholarship, which was established by our late member, Ruth Frisk, in memory of her son. And that recipient is Will Bratz. The Barb and Bowie Lefebvre Scholarship was established in memory of Barb and Bo Lefebvre, and those are Jolene Schrey's parents. This year's Barb and Bo Lefebvre Scholarship is awarded to Pedro Arellano. The Jeff Merrill Memorial Scholarship was established in memory of Jeff Merrill by his parents, Larry and Carol Merrill. This scholarship was awarded this year to Will Bratz. In 2013, an anonymous donation was made to the endowment to establish a new scholarship that was called the Margaret First Presbyterian Scholarship. This year's Margaret First Presbyterian Scholarship was awarded to three people: Tom Larson, Logan Sobel, and Alexander, with the scholarship recipients please come and they will give you a little bit of their life history when they get here.
I'm Logan Savel, and with the scholarship, I'm going to UW-Whitewater, undecided.
I'm Will Bratz, and with my scholarships, I'm going to Milwaukee School of Engineering for Construction Management.
I'm Alex Zander. I'm currently in my first year at Ballin College in their physical therapy program.
I'm Pedro Orlano, and I'm at Western Governors University out of Utah, and I'm studying to be a high school math teacher because I lost my mind at 50 years old, but yep.
I'm Thomas Larson, and I plan on going to Moraine University, and I do not know what I'm going to be going for just yet. Just going to be figuring that out yet.
Our first scripture this morning is taken from Psalm 104, verses 24 through 34 and 5b. And I'm reading from the Common English Bible. It's on page 555 in the Pew Bible, or 746 if you picked up a copy of the Common English Bible. We will be reading responsibly. Lord, you have done so many things. You made them all so wisely. The earth is full of your creations. And then there's the sea, wide and deep, with its countless creatures, living things both small and large. There go the ships on it, and Leviathan, which you made, plays in it. All your creations wait for you to give them their food on time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled, completely full. But when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and turn to dust. When you let loose your breath, they are created, and you make the surface of the ground brand new again. Let the Lord's glory last forever. Let the Lord rejoice in all he has made. He is only to look at the earth, and it shakes. God touches the mountains, and they erupt in smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I'm still alive. Let my praise be pleasing to him. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Let sinners be wiped clean from the earth. Let the wicked be no more. But let my whole being bless the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Okay, good morning. Well, today is the day we wear my favorite color. Do you remember what? Red.
My favorite color.
Your favorite color too, I can tell. I see your shoes, yep. And your glasses. So, we heard that story about Pentecost. Who was that story about?
Yeah, I saw lots of reds when I came in.
So, I see lots of reds if you look out. I see lots of reds too. So we hear this story about Pentecost. It's the story about the disciples. And, you know, it's a story that happened because they did a lot of hard work beforehand. What were those disciples doing beforehand? They were learning from Jesus. They were learning how to live in community together. Do you see the hearts? That is a lot of hands. It's a lot of hands on those hearts together. That's a lot of people working together to make those hand, that heart happen, isn't it? And that's what the story about Pentecost is. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he was working with them for a long time. He was teaching them. He was praying with them. He taught them how to pray. He taught them how to be together. He taught them how to work together. And he taught them how to love God even more. And so when this time when Jesus is not with them anymore, he is gone, what did they do? They took all the things that they learned from Jesus and they did those things. And they got together and what were they doing? They were praying. And they were asking for God's help. And they knew that they were doing the things that that Jesus had taught them. So they were listening to God and they were listening to Jesus and they were listening to each other and they were working together. And what happened? Great things happened. They did the other thing Jesus taught them how to do. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people about God. Help God, help those people to know God and love God. So Pentecost is about something that happened a long time ago. But what's really cool, it's about things that can happen today. When we get together, when we come together, when we pray together, when we listen to God's word, when we read more of God's word, when we pray and we ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us and we work together, just like those hands all come together to make a heart together. When we come together in God's love with the Spirit, we can do great things. Sometimes we're not sure what those great things are going to be yet, but those great things happen when we come together in prayer with the Spirit. So even though Pentecost happened a long time ago, it's something that we can do over and over again, right? So this week, when you go out and you talk with your friends, remember to tell them about Jesus and his love for them. Let's take a little time. Let's say a little prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that you give to us each and every day. There are so many that sometimes we don't even remember all of those gifts that you give to us. We thank you for the people that you put into our lives to help us learn more about you and more about your love. And we thank you that we live in community with each other and with you. We thank you for the Spirit that you give to us that helps us to make those decisions that we have each and every day. And we know sometimes those decisions are hard, but we know all things are possible with you. We thank you for all of these things, and we ask that you would help us to open up our hearts and to share your love with everyone we meet. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Let us pray for the preaching of God's word. Almighty God, may your Spirit rest with our spirits. May the eyes of our hearts be opened. May our ear lids be opened. Lord, may we hear your word. May all that is said, all that is done, bring glory to your name, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this is the time of year the graduations are on people's mind. Whether we've got some graduating, we are graduating, or we know of somebody graduating, pretty much encompasses all of us. Graduation is an important time. Maybe graduation from kindergarten, graduation from high school, graduation from college, all sorts of different levels of graduation. These are great moments in life to be able to celebrate that transition from one into the next phase. especially for high school graduation. It seems that we're expected to give some sort of advice. Many different ways of doing that. I remember when Chris and I were first married, I was doing youth ministry. We went around to many different graduation parties. And as we go around there, you know, the youth and their families, they knew us, they had been in our homes, they had been around us. And so Chris would offer advice on our behalf. Her advice was basically along the lines of, go out, when you go to college, enjoy life, travel around the world, go to many different places, study wherever you want to, rack up some student debt, and then marry somebody who doesn't have a lot of student debt and have them help you pay for it. Okay, I may have brought some debt into the relationship when we got married from studying abroad at Jerusalem University and whatnot, but a few years later then, as we were around youth who didn't know us quite as well, sarcasm and, you know, irony wasn't quite as obvious. We have to reframe it. And to be able to say, don't go out there and rack up a lot of debt. It's not really worth it in the end. You don't want to have it weighing you down your entire life. One piece of advice to be able to offer. And it's finding that balance in between, to be able to experience as much as you can, to set yourself up for success in the future, but yet to enjoy life and to be the person that God has created you to be in that moment as you travel through whatever it is that you're doing, whether going into the work world or college, tech school, whatever it might be. And I think this financial advice also overflows into the aspect of time and the value of time. Maybe that's a more important aspect for us to be able to consider, even in our own lives, well after graduation. Most of us have bought into that concept that we need to be busy. There's a badge of honor of how busy we are. Oh, I'm so busy, I can't do da-da-da. Why is that such a badge of honor in our society? We pour that over onto our kids as our kids grow up. And we expect our kids to be busy, 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 doing things, doing as much as possible. I hear parents, and I've heard it for years, we've been a part of it as well, raising three kids, going from one event to another event to another event, trying to be involved in as much as possible, but the reality is that we can't be involved in everything, and our kids can't be involved in everything. When we get over involved in life at whatever age, we're not able to do anything well. What is important in life, and how do we determine that? We sometimes put on our kids, oh, you need to really do your SAT, ACT prep classes. That way you can go to college, you can get some good scholarships, you can get a good start in life so that you're successful later on. We talk about sports, right? Something that you can deal with the youth, growing up in all the youth sports. How much emphasis do we put on them, and what is the purpose of it? We can be so involved running from this sport, from this event to that event. I don't know how many different parents over the years I've heard try and defend the fact that they're literally flying across the country for tournaments, investing all this money so that their child is going to get a college scholarship. And in reality, are they that one, less than 1% that's really going to achieve that? What is important? Where do we spend our time? Where do we invest? What finances that God has entrusted to us? We tell our children, and we have told ourselves, if we do enough now, we'll be successful later. And if your individual life is successful, then you're going to be happy. you're going to feel fulfilled. We've talked a couple times in Growing Connections. What is happiness and what is joy and how does that fit in with our spiritual life? Where do we really find contentment in life? And there is some truth to the perspective of what we do now does have an impact. I can remember as a youth hearing people say the decisions that you make now are going to have an impact on the next 10 to 20 years of your life. And there's truth to that. But I've also talked with many who are at the other end of life cycle, who are grieving over the loss of a loved one who passed away unexpectedly and saying, we had all these dreams, all these plans of things we were going to do in life. Now what? How do we find that balance in between? I think the problem is that if our future orientation is all about you, me, as an individual, success, quote unquote, in our individual life, from our individual perspective, we're never going to achieve it. That's taken us down the wrong road. As I mentioned last week, putting a greater focus on success and happiness and joy that's found in impacting the greater good of the community, that's a much needed biblical corrective for our hyper-individualistic society. We need to relearn how to see our life and our goals and what we're doing now and the future based on community, communitas. How do we impact one another and care for one another? And additionally, we need to regain the importance of enjoying life in the moment. We get so busy thinking about what we're doing next and what we have to do next that we no longer just enjoy the moment. We've taught ourselves to focus on goals, future, the good goals even of cultivating a healthy community that's inclusive, welcomes the marginalized, the outsiders. We can frame it into whatever positive twist we want to, but we've lost sight of just being present. We've been tricked into believing that the world that we need to be looking for, it's as far ahead as possible. That's supposed to be our focus, and that's wrong. We tell ourselves that if we don't keep an eye on where we're going and our goals, then we're never going to be keeping up with fast-changing life, and we're going to end up like the newspaper at the bottom of the bird cage or the rabbit cage. Even statements like that are already outdated. A few chuckled at it, but some of the younger ones are probably like, what? Out newspaper? What's that? Life is changing very, very fast. Everything's changing, and the rate at which change is taking place is only increasing. There was a global business survey released at the beginning of this year that says business leaders are facing an all-time high rate of change. It's the highest rate that it's been in 2023, and they're expecting it only to accelerate faster in 2024, primarily because of artificial intelligence. Change is happening at a rate that we can never really keep up with it. So we say we need to keep looking to the future, or we're going to become useless. What a lie. A lie that we've all bought into in one way or another. It's no wonder mental health issues are increasing all in all. When we listen to those lies. A little over a month ago, April 14th, in my sermon on waiting and watching, I laid some groundwork for today's sermon. In that sermon, I said, waiting as a way of being, is to release our control to be dependent on something that is not you. To be dependent on something outside of yourself. to stand still, to wait for the arrival of something outside us, is to surrender our freedom of taking hurried steps to have what we want in the world. That's part of our human desire. We think we know what we want, and that becomes such a focus that we lose sight of what God is doing in our world. When we read scriptures like the one for today, celebrating Pentecost, we even tend to focus on those exciting portions, or what's been taught to us as the exciting portions. Suddenly, a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames lighting on each one of them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages. Oh, wouldn't that be great to see that happen again? And that becomes our focus. And we just jump right past that opening verse. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Boring. Waiting. You could go into the whole Dr. Seuss book. Waiting, waiting for this, waiting for that. We don't like waiting. Especially when the world is moving so fast, we need to keep up with it. We don't have time to wait. We've got to get going. We've got to do something. They were all together in one place. Why? Because that's what Jesus told them to do. One of his final words to his disciples as he was about to be taken up into heaven. From Luke 24:49, "Look, I'm sending to you what my Father promised, but you are to stay in the city until you have been furnished with heavenly power." Jesus said, "Go, sit down, and wait. If you want to experience the power of the Spirit moving, we need to listen to Jesus' words. We need to focus on what it means for us to wait in this time, in this place. What does it mean to wait? It's not just no, it's more than that. It's being active, as I've mentioned in other sermons. If we want to experience the power, we need to put our energy, our focus into not the end result that we want, but in waiting actively. What were they doing? They were praying together. They were glorifying God. They were worshiping. They were telling one another the accounts of Jesus' life, telling those stories to one another. Might we be gathering together to share our stories, to be able to say, here's what's happening in my life. And when people say, I don't know, God's not doing anything in my life. But you know, the craziest thing happened to me the other day. The craziest thing? Maybe that was a God moment, and we just didn't realize it. Instead of focusing on that end result, that goal that we have in mind, we need to relearn the importance of simply gathering together without expectations, except for that expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to move in amazing ways, moving in a mighty way that is outside of our preconceived expectations. Maybe even causing us to let go. We like to manage and control the outcomes. We like to have strategies. That's why we have mission statements, vision statements, goals. It's hard for us in our world to let go, to let God be at work. The disciples were gathered together in one place, actively waiting. We need to pray, to wait, just as the early church did, expectantly, hopefully, Bible in hand, worshiping God, glorifying God through the actions of our lives, the everyday, the ordinary. No matter how the Spirit moves, whether it's for us or any other gathering group of God's people, we need to continue to gather together to help satisfy maybe our future-focused need that is so much a part of the life that we have, our social structure. Maybe we can set a goal, something similar to the outcome of that first Pentecost event. At the end of chapter 2, we read that they continued to gather together even after this miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There we read, all the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. Worship isn't just for Sunday morning anymore, I guess. Every day, gathering together. May not be gathering together in this place for worship, but gathering together in various groups, whether it be in a Bible study or just a group of people sitting down together or at a break at work with other Christians and talking and telling stories, helping us to be able to see where God is at work in our life, waiting expectantly for the Spirit to be moving. May we cultivate an awareness of the importance of gathering together in one place to the glory of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. As we prepare to sing in response to God's word, every time I feel the Spirit, I want to offer some words from theologian James Cone, who gives us some insights on the spiritual aspect for the African-American community from James Cone, who is African-American. He writes, "To interpret the theological significance of this spiritual for the Black community, academic tools are not enough. The interpreter must feel the Spirit. That is, he must feel his way into the power of Black music, responding both to its rhythm and the faith in experience it affirms. This song invites the believer to move close to the very sources of Black being and to experience the Black community's power to endure, the will to survive. The mountains may be high and the valleys low, but my Lord spoke, and out of his mouth came fire and smoke. All the believer has to do is respond to the divine apocalyptic discourse of God's revelation and cry, have mercy, please. Let us stand as we practice our gathering, waiting and glorifying as we sing together, every time I feel the Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I have to say kudos to Lincoln up here. He was dancing. He was feeling it in his body. One of the only few. You know, as Presbyterians, we got to learn to move around a little bit more, maybe. I invite the ushers to come forward to gather God's tithes, our offerings, as handbell choir comes to give their offering of music. Whatever it is that we have, whether it be financial tithes, whether it be our talents, may we offer our very selves and all that God has entrusted to us back to God, to glorify God and to further God's kingdom. We lay before you our gifts of faith, hope, and love. We pledge to give more of our time, more of our hearts, more of our material possessions, that we may be able to serve your greater good. Take our lives as proof of our faithfulness, and take these gifts of paper products that we have gathered as proof of our love. Use them as part of the Pentecost offering of our denomination to further your kingdom on earth, as they bless the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Solution Center. Bless them, bless us, and bless our community, so that we might all be a blessing to one another. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn to God in a time of prayer. Gracious God, as we stand in your holy place, we feel your bright spirit surge within us. Our hearts are on fire with knowledge that we may be your witnesses to the world. And yet, we quickly extinguish those sparks with our anxiety and uncertainty. Help us to speak in languages of deep listening, that others will know that we are your people. Ignite within us a need to share the abundance of our lives, the abundance of our time, our talents, our tithes, all that you have entrusted to us. Lord, help us to focus on the importance of the moment. Take our eyes off of the future that we desire. Allow your Holy Spirit to give us an even greater future than we could ever imagine. Help us not be those armchair experts ignorantly boasting about how we would solve the problems of the world. Encourage us to find joy and contentment in making the most of every moment that you bless us with. Not only those moments that we perceive as successful, but even more so the moments that we value as, that we view as dark valleys of life. Help us to sense your presence as we go through those valleys. Help us be your presence to others who are struggling and alone in the midst of their dark journey. Remind us all of your healing power that you provide as we gather together in your name. Lord, help us to be your people, to wait expectantly. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear the groans of our hearts and answer us, O Lord. Bless us that we might be a blessing to others in your name. Be with all the graduates and their families as they celebrate wonderful transitions in life, ending one stage of journey of life and starting out on a new adventure. whatever stage of life we find ourselves in. Remind us that we are all in this great journey of life together. And all we do is to glorify your name forevermore. All this we pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand for our sending hymn, We Are One in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, transform you with the healing fire that unites the world. Let the wind of that first Pentecost teach you of God's grace, God's love, God's hope, and God's mystery. With tongues of flame, may you be marked for Christ. Go out in faith and abide in love, so that all God's people may be gathered together and gathered together in all eternity. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.